Turn in your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as were in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy and kindness. As we heard this morning, all that men might praise God for his goodness. Thank you for being good and for your goodness toward us. Thank you, Lord, for this place and this people. Thank you for the opportunity we have one more time to hear the word of God and to sing praises to you and talk to you in prayer and hear from you in the scripture. And may we not take it for granted, may it not grow old and mundane. I pray it'd be exciting every time. I pray that, Lord, you'd continue now to guide us and direct us in this service, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive the word of God, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. Well, thank you and give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, light is a glorious thing, whereas darkness is associated with evil and often brings fear. Light is associated with good and often, almost always, brings joy or delight. I mean, you get up in the morning and you like to see the light, right? You open the window and it's beautiful light. Not so much in Erie, but other places around the country, there's a lot of light. In Psalm number 30, verse 5, the Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Things seem so much worse at night, don't they, than they do in the morning. You know, in the darkness is where men do most of their evil. In the darkness is where men stumble, and in the darkness is where men hide. But in the light, all is revealed, and the way is plain, and it is difficult to hide in the light. Have you ever tried to find something in the dark, and then someone turns on a light, and you go, "Ah, that's a lot better"? Throughout the Bible, we find this juxtaposition between darkness and light, between good and evil, and between God and Satan. Isaiah is giving a prophecy of the glory which Galilee would enjoy because of the presence and ministering of the Messiah within its borders. The Lord Jesus Christ, the awaited Messiah, will live and minister in Galilee. He then follows with these great prophetic verses in 6 and 7. Let's read there. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I want you to notice the names of this child, the names that are given to this son. He is called Wonderful. He is called Counselor. He is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. In these verses, the child is called the Counselor, and the Son is called the Father, as well as the Mighty God. Now, there's no doubt to the serious Bible student or the accomplished Bible scholar that this verse is indeed referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is plainly proven in John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, in the dialogue between Philip and Jesus. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" And it is dishonest scholarship to place the word "of" after the word "counselor" in this verse. That perverts the truth and converts it into a lie. This child, this son, is not the counselor of the mighty God. He is the counselor and the mighty God. The mighty God needs no counselor. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now listen, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Here it is. Or who hath been his counselor? That's a rhetorical question. It means no one. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. You've never given God anything. God's given you everything. The Bible says here that he has no counselor, needs no counselor. And what counsel could a counselor give to the God who knows everything? So how could he then be a counselor? One of the terms that describe the Lord Jesus in this chapter that may be easily overlooked is found in verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen, and here it is, a great light. Tonight I want to share with you three sources of spiritual light in the world. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. This great light spoken of here, how do we know that it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because verse 6 begins with the word for. And so we have these people in verse 2, and now they're we're in darkness, and now they're in light. So why? For unto us. You see? It means that the one in verse 6 is the answer to the need for those in verse 2. And it says a child is born. Luke chapter 2 verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice also that the people in these verses are said to be walking in darkness and dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. Both the darkness and death are the results of mankind's sin against God. Now, this was not just true of Israel only, but true for the whole world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every human baby is born in the shadow of death, to walk in the darkness of this world, and then to die in darkness and spend eternity in the darkness of eternal damnation. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What a terrible scenario. What an incredible and horrible state that is. But into the darkness of this world, Isaiah said, would shine a great light. Amen. John 12, 46, Jesus said, I am come, a light, into the world. Isaiah said, he's coming. And Jesus said, I'm come. Isaiah said, he's coming. Jesus said, I'm here. Isaiah said, a great light. Jesus said, I am the light. He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, when Jesus came into this world, we were living in darkness and we were in the shadow of death. And Jesus came and gave us the light of life. If you're saved, you no longer walk in darkness. You have the light of life. And you walk in the light and live in the light, and one day you'll spend eternity in the light with him who is light. John 3:19. This is the problem. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. What a shame. If you're here tonight, or you're watching, or you're listening, and you're not saved, you are still walking in darkness. No matter how bright the sun might be shining on a particular day, or how bright the moon might shine on a particular evening, you are walking in spiritual darkness. And you live in the shadow of death. And if you do not get saved, you will continue to walk in darkness, live in darkness, die in darkness, and spend eternity in darkness. Isaiah said that this light, this Messiah, this Christ, this Son, this Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us, would come to earth with the light of eternal life and the power to give the light of life. When you got saved, God lit you up with the light of life. The promise is that whosoever believes on this Son will no longer abide in darkness or walk in darkness, because they shall have the light of life. Peter put it this way: but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth, here comes, the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Paul put it this way: who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And John describes the Lord's kingdom in 1 John 1:5. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And listen, there's neither shadow of turning. God does not have a shadow. You have a shadow. Every other created being has a shadow. Why do we have a shadow? Because we are not the source of light. We are the recipient of light. And so when light comes upon us, it makes a shadow. But God is light. So he has no shadow, because there's no light that shines on him. John further describes the kingdom in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, who is this Lamb? John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And again, in Revelation 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There are no light switches in heaven, because there's no need of artificial light. Right. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. But he also said this in John 9, 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, as long as Jesus was here physically on planet Earth, there could be no greater light. Right. No greater light of truth. No greater spiritual light could exist on planet Earth while Jesus was here, because he is the truth. He is the life. Amen. He is the light. But since he's no longer physically here in this world, it brings me to point number two. You are the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus tells his disciples that they are the light of the world. How can this be? Because as long as he was in the world, he was the light of it. But after he had gone back to heaven, they became the light of the world because he dwells or dwelt in them. Today, you and I are the light of the world because he dwells in it. We're not the light of the world because we're educated. We're not the light of the world because we're moral. We're not light of the world because we're sophisticated. We are the light of the world because the light dwells in us. The greater, that great light, the true light. The wonderful truth of the Christian faith is not that we just have a Savior, which is glorious enough, but that that Savior dwells not just with us, he dwells in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The truth is that we were once darkness, but we've been made light in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Never forget that. For ye were sometimes darkness. You know, we look at the world and we see all this wickedness, all this stuff's going on. What do you expect to go on in the darkness? It's a world of darkness. And ye were sometimes darkness. You were out there. Now, those of you that got saved when you were kids and young, praise God, you weren't ever out in the depths of that darkness. But those of us who were saved later in life, we were in that darkness. We were sometimes darkness. We did dark things. We said dark things. We were living dark lives. You say, well, not me. Oh, yes, you. But you were sometimes darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know that song? That song tells us, I'm not the person I used to be. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go the places I used to go. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. What happened? I was taken out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I'm not a citizen of the darkness. I'm a citizen of the light. I'm not a child of the darkness. I'm a child of light. There is within me a light. I can't explain it. The Bible just says it's true. And I know it's true in my life. I hope you know it's true in your life. First Thessalonians 5:5 says, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. When we were born into this world, we were born into darkness and we were of the darkness. But when we were born into God's family, by grace through faith in Christ, we became children of light. Now, being children of light, we are to be light to those around us. We're to walk as Christians. We're to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. We are to let our light shine. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus did not light you with his light to put you under a bushel, but rather to set you forth for others to see. To see what? To see his light shining in you and his light shining through you to the glory of God. I want you to notice one thing here before we move on. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light is to shine on our good works for men to see. What does that mean? Well, there are many who do good, quote, good works that are not children of light. There are all kind of good works, good causes, good things that people are doing, right? I mean, like feeding the hungry people, Instead of letting them starve, that's a good thing. Clothing naked people, that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. Helping broken people is a good thing. And the world does all of that, right? However, our good works are to be distinguished by having an added dimension and being seen as a result of Christ in us and not of we ourselves. People need to know that what we do because of Christ. They need to know that the way we live is because of Christ. And they need to know that the light they see in us is not us. It's the light of Jesus Christ. Our good works are not just for good works' sake. Our good works are not just to meet the physical and material needs of men. Our good works are designed to bring men to a spiritual understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. This is the result of being filled with the Spirit. Therefore, the more filled with the Spirit, the brighter we shine. The more control the Holy Spirit has of our hearts and our minds and our tongues and our lives and our loves, the greater we shine. Jesus left you here to be the light of the world because you carry his light, a heavenly light, a divine light in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. If the world around you is going to see the true light, then they must see Christ in you. If they just see you doing good deeds, they're not seeing the true light. They need to see that what you do is because of him. You know, in the world, in the darkness, people jockey for position and fame, and they want recognition for themselves for the good deeds or the things they do, don't they? But we who are the light in the Lord, we want the Lord Jesus to get the credit. And we want the Lord Jesus to get the glory. Because it's his light in us and his power working through us. 1 John 2, verse 8 says again, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." When Jesus was here, he was the true light. Now he's gone back to heaven. And the true light shines in you. Amen. The true light of the glorious gospel shines to a lost and dying world in you and through you. And so Jesus is the light, the great light, the true light. And we are the light of the world because he is in us. Our third source of light is the word of God. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Here it is. And a light unto my path. Jesus is the light that came into the world. You and I are the light that remains in the world. The word of God is the light that guides us through the world. It's like a flashlight in the darkness of this world. The whole world is darkness. And before we were saved, we were like the blind leading the blind. And we were all falling into the ditch. But after we got saved, now we have not only the light of Christ in us, but we have the light of the Word of God as a flashlight to shine and guide us and direct us through this world. Amen. It's a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. Don't forget, this world is a world of darkness. The darkness in which we were born. And the darkness we once walked in. Why don't we walk in that darkness anymore? Because we have the Word of God as a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. But now we are light, and we also have a light to shine on our way in this dark place. Aren't you glad? Amen. I mentioned to you before about walking in the woods in the dark. It's dangerous. You trip over stuff. You get poked in the ribs. You get poked in the eyes. You get slapped in the face by all kinds of stuff you can't see. Why? Because it's dark. But if you have a light, you can go, oh. You can go, oh. Right? That's how the Word of God is in this world. You ever walk through the house in the dark? Not fun. Christians who are stumbling around and stubbing their spiritual toes are those who neglect the Bible. They're not reading it, memorizing it, and implementing it. And therefore, they're stumbling and bumbling and fumbling. They're stubbing their spiritual toes. They're getting poked in the eye, slapped in the face by things that wouldn't necessarily have to do that if they just turn on the light of what? The light of the Word of God. This is, I hope you read your Bible. It'll tell you about things. It'll say, watch out for this and watch out for that and be careful of this and be careful of that and beware of this and be aware of that and do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that and you'll be all right. In chapter 30 of the book of Isaiah, we find the prophet moved by the Holy Ghost to warn Israel about forming an alliance with Egypt instead of taking counsel with the mouth of the Lord. And the prophet said that the result of going to Egypt instead of getting counsel from God would be confusion and shame and would be to no profit. But the prophet said, when they return to the Lord and his word, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. You know what we're naturally do it because we're born sinners. Even though we're saved by grace, we have a natural propensity to drift. Right? We have a natural propensity to turn to the left. It's hard for us to walk a straight line. You see, people get pulled over for DUI. You know what that is? Okay. So they get pulled over for a DUI. And what do they have them do? Walk a straight line. How'd I do? I mean, that guy thought he was walking a straight line, right? I mean, he was really trying hard. That's how we are in our unsaved natural condition. We can't walk in a straight line because we are crooked. But when we get saved, now we are in the light. Now we can walk in the light. Now we have the Word of God to be our light, and we can walk straight. But still, our natural man, that old man, that flesh, still has a hard time. And that's where we have to bring the flesh into subjection, Paul said. He said, I bring my body into subjection. So we can walk straight in the light of the Word when we have our flesh in subjection to the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. When we neglect the Lord and we neglect His Word, we're going to find confusion, shame, and little profit. You see, Egypt was always a picture of the world in the Bible. And so what Israel was doing is they were going down to the world and getting information, getting counsel, and getting, help. Instead of going to the mouth of the Lord, say, Lord, what do you think? Instead of going to the mouth of the Lord, the Word of God. Where do you go for counsel? Where's your alliances? Where's your trust, dear Christian? But when we walk as children of light, we have a twofold blessing. Number one, the Spirit of God dwelling in us is that still small voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. When we turn to the right hand or when we turn to the left. Did you ever hear that still small voice? Yeah, I hear it. You know, when your flesh wants to turn to the left and that still small voice says, uh-uh. And your flesh wants to turn to the right and that still small voice says, uh-oh, don't do that. I've heard it, and I've ignored it in my past. There's been times when my flesh just wanted to do what it wanted to do. It wanted to be angry, and it was going to be angry. It wanted to be offended, and it was going to be offended. It wanted to feel sorry for itself, and it was going to feel sorry for itself, no matter what God said. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit's saying, you're going to regret this. The Holy Spirit saying, don't go there, don't do that, don't think that, don't act like that, don't be like that. And then when you finally have confusion, and you finally have shame, and you finally have found that was to no profit, you come back to the Lord, right? Aren't you glad he doesn't say, well, I told you so. Aren't you glad he says, I'm glad you're back. I remember somebody just mentioned the prodigal son as we were coming in here tonight. I'm glad the father and the prodigal son, that father didn't, you know, when the son came back, wasted all his inheritance and riotous living, the father didn't say, well, it's about time you came crawling back. He didn't say, what do you want? You didn't want to stay around here. You wanted your inheritance, you left. But when he came back, and he was contrite, and he was broken, the father said, glad you're back, son. I'm going to tell you this. If the son would have came in and said, hey, I wasted all my substance and inheritance and riotous living. I want some more. I think the father would have went. I'm glad when we are repentant and we are contrite and we've turned to the right hand and we've turned to the left hand against that still small voice, that when we come back, God says, glad you're back. Now let's get started again. Number two, the Word of God is a light, a beacon on our path, showing and warning and giving discernment as we go, isn't it? It's like the Lord is saying to us, when you are tempted to turn to the right or to the left, out of the way, I will warn you by my Spirit, and I will guide you by my Word. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Now get the picture. Before we were saved, we were born in the dark, living in the dark, stumbling in the dark, hanging out in the dark. We were going to die in the dark and spend eternity in the dark. We didn't know where we were going or how we were going to get there. And we didn't much care. But now we're children of light. And now we have a still small voice that says, this is the way. We have a Word of God that gives us discernment and discretion and tells us which way to go and how to live and what to do and how to raise our kids and how to run our businesses and how to be spouses and how to be friends and how to be servants and all that. Man, we got it made. We've got it all. Before I close tonight, I would like to say something to those of you who may be watching on live stream or listening on our radio station or even be in this room tonight and have never been born of God. You've never become a child of light. God told Paul that he was sent to the Gentiles and his ministry was to open their eyes and turn them to the dark, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. But we have an enemy who desires to keep the lost from the light. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. The light is available, but too often it's avoided. And I plead with you tonight, if you're watching, you're listening, or if you're in this room and you've never been saved, will you tonight continue to avoid the light and remain blinded by Satan? Or will you avail yourselves of the glorious light of the gospel of Christ and see Jesus as the Savior of the world and believe on Him right now before it's too late? Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as we bow our heads tonight, perhaps, listen, dear friend, listening or watching, the choice is yours. The time is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is shining unto you right now. Will you avail yourself of it, or will you avoid it? Perhaps there's someone in this room tonight that would say, listen, I've been avoiding the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. I've been trying to be religious. I've been trying to be good. I've been trying to do this and do that. But I realize tonight that I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, and I want to trust Him and ask Him to save me tonight once and for all. I want to help you with that. Let's pray together. You can ask Christ to be your Savior right there in your seat. Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm here tonight and I need to be saved, and I know I need to be saved, and I just want to get saved. I want to call upon the name of the Lord right here in my seat, in the privacy of my heart and mind. Anybody like that here this morning? Then, dear Christian, your heads are bowed. Are you shining, or are you hiding under a bushel? Do men know why you shine, how you shine, and for whom you shine? Remember, greater the filling, the greater the shining. And the greater the shining, the greater the glory for God. And after all, isn't that why you're here? Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. We're here to shine, not with our light, but with your light. And not for our glory, but for your glory. Forgive us when we take the credit and enjoy the fame, instead of pointing to Jesus. Forgive us, Father, when we turn to the right hand and to the left, even after we've heard a still small voice, or because we've neglected the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us, my Father, to be the light of the world, to take the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, unto those who are lost. Father, I pray if there's someone watching or listening tonight that they would stop whatever they're doing and take a moment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's someone in this room that's still unsaved and on their way to hell, I pray that they would come at the invitation time, find someone before they leave, but let's take care of that tonight, Lord. It's too important. And I pray you'd help all of us who know Jesus as our Savior to be the light of the world, not to hide our light under bushels, under beds, but, Father, to stand out and shine for Jesus because we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and your light is shining through us. Help us now to put ourselves aside and Jesus out front. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Number 89, Near the Cross. Good place to stay. Perhaps tonight you need to come, dear Christian, and say, I need to let my light shine more. Perhaps tonight you need to come and say, I've been taking the credit, I've been enjoying the accolades, I haven't been giving God the glory. Perhaps tonight you just need to get saved. If you have questions about going to heaven, you come and see me here at the front. If you need to talk to the Lord about something, you come and talk to Him tonight. As we sing number 89.